Glory to God. Praise the Lord. You ready for the word this morning? Why don't we just go ahead and stand up one more time and pray and give God praise for what he's about to do in your life this morning. We thank God for his precious, holy, written word. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Can you say praise God? Can you say praise God several times? Praise God. Glory to your name. Praise your holy name, Lord. We give you praise. We lift up holy hands, Lord, in the sanctuary. Oh, we praise you. We thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. You are so good, Lord. You are so good. Thank you. 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 Oh, we praise you in advance, Lord. Hallelujah, because we're faith people. We believe. Hallelujah. You're about to do something extraordinary in our lives today. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Something's about to happen. Praise God. Something. Oh, hallelujah. What a wonderful Lord you are, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Miracles and signs and wonders and gifts of the Holy Ghost. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Father, we praise you this morning. As we stand in your presence together, we thank you for the mighty one, the great Holy Spirit who lives in us. Thank you that you said in your word that he that is in us is greater than he that is in the world. Thank you, Lord God, that no opposition can overcome us because, Jesus, you've conquered every demon, every angelic that is not of you. Lord God, all those ones, you said you've given us power over all the power of the enemy. We speak direction for our lives this morning. We speak wisdom for every situation at hand, Lord God. We thank you for an encouraging word for every area that needs encouraging. Thank you, Lord God. We erase from our minds the thoughts of the enemy, and we replace it with the word of the living God. We wash our minds. We wash our souls right now with the word of the living God. We thank you for the word that will uplift our hearts. Give us illumination and direction and defeat the enemy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord God, for every answer that's coming our way right now. Thank you. The enemy has been defeated. You said, Lord God, in your word, we have overcome by the blood of the Lamb and word of our testimony. We give you praise in the name of Jesus. And everybody said amen. And amen. All right, get in your Bibles this morning if you're there. Those of you that are watching by live stream, we welcome you wherever you are. I thank God that you are with us this morning. Welcome. And we want to give you a warm invitation to our fall conference, our annual faith conference that's coming up very soon. And it'll be in September 20th to 21st. And we thank God for you. You'll be coming. Praise God. Many of you that will bring friends and family. And God will do a mighty work in your life. Hallelujah. Well, this morning our topic is about praise and thanksgiving. How many of you love to praise God? You do it on a regular basis, not just when you come to church. But at least you say, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. He's a good God. He's an awesome God. Remember what we did last time we were together? And we talked about some wonderful words that is very encouraging for our lives. And we talked about the life of victory on last Wednesday. And we talked about Jesus is the way maker. And I think you need to get the message. If you didn't get the message, you need to get it. Jesus said, I am the way. If there's any way out of your trouble today, Jesus has a word for you. He's got something for you. And I know that if you haven't discouraged, God is going to make a way, or he already has made a way, where there is no way that you should be, where you're at today, because he is doing something today for you again, one more time. So we thank God for a life of victory. He's a good God. And I want to talk about praise this morning, and I seem to have lost my place. We're going to talk about praise and worship and thanksgiving. So our message this morning is what praise can do for you in the middle of your troubles. Let's go ahead and say this together. What praise can do for me in the middle of my trouble? I want to turn to Psalm 34, our scripture this morning that we're going to look at. Psalm 34 is our main scripture verse. While I was in Bible school, we took a course called The Praise Life with Pastor Keith Moore. And he taught us a number of scriptures about praise and what is praise and why we need to praise. And what will praise do for you? And you need to get that course. I think we need to teach that course next term in our fall session. When we start teaching on the second year and maybe the first year. Praise God. We're looking at second year course this year. So we're going to be talking about the praise life as our topic and the message, what praise can do for you. The power of praise, basically. The power of praise is our title. The power of praise. And I want us to look very closely this morning. Psalm 34, he says, this is the psalmist David. He said, I'll bless the Lord at all times. That means every day, always, whenever you remember it, whether you have trials, whatever you're having the lowest time of your life, whether it's a life and death matter. It's not just a one-time thing about praising. This is a habit that we should all begin to implement in our lives. He said, I'll bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Praise God. Let's say that together. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. 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 You need to recognize the situation, the dire situation in which David was in at that juncture. What was David doing? How can he say, I shall praise the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. We want to look back at David's life just a little bit to get a history of what was going on in his life. And I think we will learn from his example. What David did is what we should do. And we need to begin to look at that in light of the scripture and revelation of what God's given us today. And I want to ask you for a moment, what kind of trouble are you in? What is your situation? Sometimes your trouble is really no bigger than a molehill. But in your mind, it's bigger than the biggest mountain in the world. See, God looks at everything from his perspective, and from his perspective, everything looks wonderful because we need to see from God's eyes what he sees for us. So he said, I will bless the Lord at all times. And that, he said, I'm going to do this not just when everything is going right, the checks are coming in, I've not been sick for a long time. The kids are all tucked in bed. Have a nice car, a nice house. My job is fine. Everybody loves me at work. Everything's going real well. What about in those times when it's not going well? Your marriage is about to break up. You're sick with a deadly disease. The doctor says you got 6 months to live. Your child is about to die with cancer. Your husband just left you. You don't have any money. You're about to retire and you don't have any savings. What about in those times? Does that scripture actually apply in that time? It's easy to praise God when the music is going, blaring, and it lifts you up. But there's such a time that when we have to implement praise in our lives, when everything's not going so well. And I want to show you from the scripture this morning that praise is a mighty weapon against the enemy. And the devil wants to shut your mouth with all the trouble and get you to look at your trouble and the trial and the difficulty instead of what God says in His Word. It's easy, like I said, to praise God when they're playing your favorite song and the beat is just right and you can groove with it. But there are times in your life when it's not going to always be that way. I believe there are days ahead that you think you had the hardest time yet, but there are days ahead that'll be even tougher. It's going to be your decision and your choice today whether you'll do this for the rest of your life. Whether this will be a way of life or will it be just an option during the worship service on a Sunday morning or a Wednesday night. I propose to you this idea that praise completely obliterates the power of the enemy in your life. Praise completely obliterates the power of the enemy in your life. Every attack the enemy has asserted against you will fall as you implement the Word of God. Psalm 22:3 says that He inhabits the praises, or God inhabits the praises of His people. God lives among those who will praise Him. God's power becomes alive for those who will open up their mouths and shout the victory when everything's down. It was while the walls were up that Israel began to shout. It was while the blind men were blind that they began to pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They begin to worship God. Psalm chapter 9, verse 1 to 3, and verses 9 to 10. The New Living Translation says, I will praise you, Lord, with all my heart. Did you praise with all your heart, or were you just waiting for the right moment to praise God this morning? Were you praising from your heart, or were you just thinking about sausages at noon? Were you praising God this morning with all your heart and not with just your soul? Your soul just likes the sway of the music or the beat of the strum of the guitar, and that's what the soul likes, and it helps us in the natural. But we need to praise God with all our hearts, and God is looking for people to praise Him with all His hearts. He says in these days, in the fourth chapter of John, that God is looking for people who will worship Him, to seek to worship Him. The Bible says in Chronicles that the eyes of the Lord, 1 Chronicles 16, I believe it is verse 6, His eyes run throughout the whole world to show Himself strong on the behalf of them whose heart is perfect towards Him. I'll praise you, Lord, Psalm 9:1-3, with all my heart. I will tell of thy marvelous things you have done. I'll be filled with joy because of you. I will sing praises to your name, Most High. My enemies retreated and staggered and died when you appeared. When you begin to praise God, the enemy will retreat and they will die. His words will die. They'll fall to the ground. Someone said the words of an enemy spoken to you, if you don't speak them, they will die. The Lord is a shelter, verse 9 and 10. The Lord is a shelter for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. If you have trouble, the Lord is a refuge. Those who know your name trust you. When we know God, we trust Him. For you, O Lord, will not abandon those who search for you. Psalm 68, 1 to 3. This is all under the banner of praise will completely obliterate the enemy. Let God arise and His enemies be scattered. When you begin to praise God, when you begin to lift up the name of Jesus, when you begin to worship God, let His enemies be scattered. The enemy scatters as you begin to worship Him. Let them also that hate Him flee before Him. As the smoke is driven away, so them away. As wax melts before the fire, so let the wicked perish at Thy presence, O God, or of God. But let the righteous be glad, and let them rejoice before God. Yea, let them exceedingly rejoice. Why don't we just stand up for a moment and give God praise that He desires, from us. Let's lift our hands and give Him thanks. Praise God. Amen. Come on. Oh, lift up your voices unto Him. Go ahead and give Him thanksgiving. Hallelujah. Do it if you don't want to do it. Do it because you need to do it this morning. Oh, we praise You, Lord God. We praise You, Lord God. Thank You, Lord. We give You glory, Lord. Thank You. Thank You for Your loving kindness and Your tender mercies. Oh, we praise You, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank You. Thank You. Thank You, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Go ahead, be seated. In times of trouble, the enemy wants you to think that he's got you. He wants you to think that there's no solution to your situation or problem. He loves to say that God has forgotten you. He loves to tell you that you'll get no answers from Him. If you've ever been in some deep trial or trouble, and you've suffered such difficult times, you may have felt like quitting and throwing in the towel. But you're not alone. There are many people, hundreds of people, thousands of people that feel just like you this morning. You're not the only one. Some of you think your problem is the biggest problem in this room right now. There are other people that have just as much problems as you, or such as, you know, a big problem like you. But there are other, you know, solutions to that as we follow God. So if you've ever been in that trouble and that kind of thing, situation, and you feel like quitting, you're not alone. The Bible reveals that there are so many examples of individuals and groups of people who went through hard times and still came up on top. God will do the same thing for you and us if we follow Him and learn to praise the praise life and do what the Bible says. As I mentioned earlier, Psalm 34:1, the things that David did when he was in trouble is what we should do today. Let's consider what he did and follow by faith. In the book of Psalms, The book of Psalms really is an Israel songbook. It contains many of David's hard times, and it reveals the truth about what we should do when we are in trouble. Jesus told us that hard times will come to all of us. I find that most people that have troubles, they don't come to church. They quit going to church. They run away from church, and they're exactly falling right into the enemy's hands because he's giving them a pattern for the rest of their lives. So every other time when they have a problem, they'll stay away. Or on the other extreme, you have another situation where if everything's going well, just like it says in the scriptures, that when everything goes well, you got money in your pocket, everything's going fine, then you forget about God, have long vacations, and just have a great time. Then you forget about God. And this is what happens to folks. And God doesn't want us to forget him. You know, the scripture says that we forget God. He said, you know, the scripture says, you know, telling the Israelites, when you're having a great time and you got built nice houses and everything's fine, don't forget me. So people forget about him. They stop being grateful. They stop praising God because they don't need him anymore until the next crisis. So we need to learn to praise God, not for your own sake, but for the sake of your children, for the sake of your neighbor, for the sake of those who don't know God. So hard time will come to all of us. Jesus said, in this world you'll have tribulations, tests, and trials, but be of good cheer. John 16:33, he says, but be of good cheer. How does good cheer sound like? Praise God, that sounds pretty weak. Sounds like somebody stepped on a cat's tail. Let me ask you one more time. How does good cheer sounds like? Whoa! Hallelujah. Now, there it is. There it is. You know, the Bible says, the psalmist says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Some people think, they got to have some kind of style when they praise God. But when they're watching the Leafs or the Jets or the Habs or something like that, they just go ahead and jump up and scream. They don't care about style. They make themselves look like a fool. I was just sitting with Mean Sterling over there when Donaldson hit a home run. We just jumped right up. We didn't think about who's watching us. But in church, everybody thinks, yeah, you ought not to be praising God that way. It's a shame. And it's the enemy who wants that. He wants you to be silent. He doesn't want you to ever praise, because when you praise, he begins to oppress you. He'll send a spirit of oppression and gloom and doom on you, and it stays with you forever. I didn't know I had a spirit of oppression on me for a number of years until I began to learn to praise God. When the oppression left me, it was gone. I didn't have to take any more pills. I didn't have to go to pills. If you follow this, you won't have to ever take a pill. You'll be taking God's pills. Amen? Now, the background of David's ordeal here in Psalm 34, he was, we need to understand what was going on in David's life. Learn to understand and appreciate his experience so that we can relate to him. The Bible says that everything happened to Israel, and David is Israel, or part of Israel, or one king that was in Israel. We showed you from, Romans 15 and 1 Corinthians chapter 10, all, 1 to 5 and 1 to 6 over there. It says in there that whatever happened to them is an example unto us so that we can learn from their experiences. How many people know that you can learn from the generation prior to you their experiences and begin to use that instead of running into the same trouble they did? We need to understand the background here with David and appreciate his situation. King Saul wanted to kill him, wanted him dead because he was afraid of David taking his place as king. Although David's rightful place was to be a king, and Saul knew that, everybody knew it, but he wanted to kill him. See, the enemy doesn't want you to get ahead in life. He doesn't want you to have a good life, and he wants you to keep you down and keep you depressed so that you'll not have much. Some people can't even enjoy their kids. They can't even enjoy their new house. They got a new house, but they can't enjoy it. They can't enjoy any kind of victory. Every time they have a victory, they think something bad's going to happen next. I shouldn't be too happy because every time I get happy, something bad happens. Can anybody relate to this? Besides the three people that lift their hands, how many of you ever relate to that? You know, it's a situation that the enemy, I mean, we can all know that because you look around, people say, yeah, I've had that thought. It happened to me because it's in the Bible. Whatever happened in the Bible is happening in your life. King Saul wanted them dead. He represented a threat to his personal power and influence that he wanted to keep. David was being persecuted unjustly and unfairly. You see, the enemy is not fair. He'll come to you in the most inopportune time. Somebody's going to ask you for help at 3 or 4 in the morning when you just went to bed at 1:30. And he's going to ask you to pray for someone or go and help somebody. But this is something that you have to decide before. We belong to a fellowship that when somebody comes up anywhere, lift up their hand and ask for help, I want to be there. And how many of us just sleep through the trouble? I said, let somebody else do it. And we wonder why we don't get any help when we're in trouble. Glory to God. So he was being persecuted. What would your reaction be if you were David? He was definitely mistreated and unfairly. There was plenty of anger to go around in his life to begin to put on Facebook how everybody is treating him badly. And putting on innuendos and little hidden messages to people and how bad your life is. Why don't you go ahead and say, I'll bless the Lord anyway at all times. And his praise will continually be about, make a choice never to put anything bad anymore on Facebook, because the enemy knows when you do that, he's going to attack you again in that same place or another place like that. When you keep your mouth shut, you don't let him know that he's getting you. Praise God. There were 3,000 trained soldiers after him with the king, with an order to kill him on sight. How would you feel? Surrounded by trouble and discouragement. You know, not only did this man, David, was being pursued by the enemy, and he had to hide, although he, you know, God wanted them. You know, God wanted them to be a king. God wanted them as king. God picked him as king. Look at Acts chapter 13. That God says, I found David, my servant. He said, I found this David. Then over there, in 1 Samuel chapter 16, God told Samuel, the prophet Samuel, go find one of Jesse's boys. I'm going to make one of them king. Why didn't God just tell him who it was? Why didn't he say David? Because it just wouldn't be faith, would it? God doesn't tell you every single thing. He'll lead you by His Spirit to go a certain direction, and it's up to you to obey the voice of the Spirit in your heart. He don't show you everything. It is scary walking by faith because you don't see everything in the natural. All the answers that are not there. We have to walk by faith. God expects us to use the Bible as our map and direction. Follow that. Read it. Follow it. Do what it says. And let God speak to you by His Spirit if He needs to or if He wants to. He don't have to give you a vision and a dream. He doesn't have to send a pastor and a man of God to give you a special word just for you. He's already given you a word. And so many times people are waiting for some special word to go to a special service somewhere. to let somebody who's so anointed lay hands on them, and that for the rest of their lives they'll be happy until the next time something comes along. So in 1 Samuel 22, while being on the run from Saul, he's hiding in a cave. And then we find in 1 Samuel 22, the Bible says that he became surrounded by individuals who are also in a lot of trouble. And he's looking for encouragement. All of a sudden, he has other people around him that has just as much trouble in their lives, so to speak, in their perspective, than anything else. How many people know sometimes, you know, you got troubles and there are people looking to you for help and you have troubles? That'd be a good country and western song right there. Amen? So David, the Bible says over here, so David left Gath and escaped to the cave of Adullam. So he left, running away for his life, hiding in caves. And then all of a sudden, soon his brothers and all of his relatives joined him there. Then others began coming, men who were troubled or in debt, who were discontented or discouraged, until David was captain about 400 of them. How would you like to have a congregation of discouraged people? Well, David had some. You know, he's being pursued, and yet, you know, everybody likes to be encouraged. I like to be encouraged. I like to come here sometime and I have trouble. I mean, the devil attacks me lots, and I don't put that on Facebook. I don't tell you what's going on in my physical body or my mind or my money or my family or my happen to my kids or my wife. I don't tell you about that. I tell the one who needs to know, and that's God. Can you say amen? And so I bless the Lord at all times. And in the middle of the night, instead of putting something on the, some messenger or something, or look who's up at night, I begin to bless God, lift my hands up to the Lord and say, thank you, Lord. I'll bless you no matter what. I'm going to bless you at all times. Your praise shall continually be in my mouth. Praise the Lord. Can you lift that hand and say, thank God? Say, thank you, Jesus. Say, I'm not the only one. So give the devil a heart attack and begin to praise him. He don't like you praising him. He's not going to stick around your house if you're praising. He'll go next door, where there's no praises. So sometimes the people you look to for help are more hard off than you on the emotional scale. Where's your level this morning on the emotional scale? It don't matter how bad you feel emotionally. Praise should be done no matter how you feel. No matter how deep your trouble is, you still praise God, because it's the best thing for you. Praising God is the best thing you can do for yourself. Why must I praise God? Because God told you to. He said to praise Him. Look at all the Psalms and all the Scriptures. It said, praise me, O people. You know, he knows what's good for us. So, what David did, we need to do. So we need to know what we should do when we're surrounded by trouble. So we ought to think, the Bible says over here, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 11 to 8, New Living Translation says this. Paul is writing to the church at Corinth. Is somebody getting something out of this morning? Look at this. We think you ought to know, dear brothers and sisters, about the trouble we went through in the province of Asia. See, he's writing this on his Facebook. So you do have some precedent here to a degree. So So what happened to us in the province of Ontario? We were crushed and overwhelmed beyond our ability to endure. How many of you have ever felt so crushed that you couldn't almost stand it anymore? Let me just see your hand. Yeah. We've been there. You all, you've got great company. Some of you never lift your hands, and you wonder why, what's going to happen in your life in the next little while. Examine your life and be honest about it. I'm not here to tickle your ears. I'm here to save your life and the life of your children. If you don't pull yourself up, your kids are going to go down, and your marriage is going down, your money is going down, and everything else going down if you don't learn how to do this. Beyond our ability to endure, we thought we would never live through it. We said, you know, I want to die. I'm going to quit. Sometimes you want to give up. You think you're the only one, blah, blah, blah. Ha-ha, you know. You're not the only one. There's people far more off than you. There's people that are coming from other countries that have no arms and legs, and they have nowhere to sleep tonight. In fact, we expected to die, he says. But as a result, we stopped relying on our own selves. At these times, people begin to, when they have the hardest times, begin to look within themselves and within their own resources and their own strength to carry themselves through. The Bible tells you not to rely on yourself or other people except Him. Look at the Scripture. Crushed and overwhelmed beyond our ability to endure, we thought we would never live through it. In fact, we expected to die, but just as a result, we stopped relying on ourselves and learned to rely on God, who raises the dead. He did rescue us from mortal danger. He rescued him. And He'll rescue us again. Everybody said, He'll do it again. Say, He'll do it again. See, the devil likes to tell you this is the final time he's going to do it. Yes, you got healed last time, but this time it's not going to work. You're about to die. Praise God. He said He'll rescue us again. We have placed our confidence on Him. Everybody say, my confidence is on Him. What He's saying there, I place my confidence on Him. What He's saying, He had put His faith in God. The Bible said, faith is reliance. Faith is a confidence of God. Hebrews 11:1 amplifies this. This is the confidence that we have in Him. 1 John 5:14. This is the confidence that we have in Him. That we ask anything in His name, He'll do whatever you ask Him. You cannot have confidence in a trial unless you have the Word of God. We place your confidence in Him. And He will continue to rescue us. If you're having trouble right now, He's going to continue to help you get out of that mess you're in. Notice this, and you are helping us by praying for us. If God implores you or moves you to pray for somebody, you need to pray for them. Maybe check on them and ask, are you doing okay? I'm just feeling that, you know, I have a check in my spirit. And can I pray for you a little bit more? Yes, they like your prayer, but also they like to hear from you. And sometimes, you know, I try to call someone. I don't always, you know, get through to them, but I try to get through to them somehow, let them know I'm thinking about them and praying. Many people give thanks because God has graciously answered so many prayers for our safety. So we need to know what to do in troubled times. Sometimes people make it through the troubled time or trial, but at the end of the trouble, they're all worn out and completely depleted, and they can't do anything else. God wants us to be refreshed at the end of our trouble. So if there were subsequent challenges at the end of their situation, their faith would not be able to endure them. The Bible says we must continue to fight the good fight of faith. If we are to win, we need a constant diet of the Word of God in our lives. And we don't have to be in the dark concerning what God will do, what troubles that we might encounter. God will give us the direction. We can learn how to win, particularly just like David did and the Israelites. So don't pay attention to the enemy. He likes to talk to you that way. You know, when the enemy talks to you in a bad way like that, negatively, you talk back to him with the Word of God. Amen. Just like Jesus did. Amen. Psalm 112, verse 7 says, New Living says, these people who trust in God, they do not fear bad news. For they confidently trust in the Lord to care for them. If you confidently trust in the Lord, you will not be afraid of no matter what comes your way, no matter what the news is. Amen. Some people say, oh, I'm going to the doctor today, and I don't know if there's a bad news or good news. You know, I hope there's going to be some good news. Pray that I'll have good news. Whether I pray or not, like whether you, it doesn't matter if God's, whether the doctor gives you bad news or not, it don't matter what he says. It's what God says about it. See, a lot of people go to the doctor and say, oh, I hope the x-rays are good. I hope the blood thing is okay. No, you just trust God no matter what. If you're relying on some x-ray or some MR or whatever you call that, MRC, what do you call that thing? MRI. Everybody knows it because they've gone there several times. Amen. Scan or whatever. My dad, you know, when he went to the doctor, he said to me, you know, today I got a scam, he says, the doctor. Then he said, the doctor discovered I have two Cadillacs. I said, oh, that's nice. See, my dad, he couldn't English very well, he says. But I'm telling you, he's speaking pretty good English now up there. Proverbs 12:25 says, heaviness in the heart makes it stoop, but a good word makes it glad. Why don't you give yourself a good word today? Go to the scripture and find out what he says about your situation and bring yourself up. Encourage your own heart like David did. And first Samuel chapter 30, the Bible says when they went out on war there, they did some traveling around, did whatever they were doing. Then the enemy came and attacked their camp there. Took away all their family, their children. The devil wants to steal your children. Hello? Hello? The devil wants to steal your children and your wife. And all your dogs and cats and whatever you got at home, he take away everything you got. He comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. The Bible says when they got back from serving God, from doing what they're supposed to do, they got home, and the Bible says that the enemy came to the camp and took everything away, Miss Joanne. And the Bible says they began to get mad. And all the men that was David's men began to turn against him and said, let's kill David. Let's go ahead and rope him up right now. You know, when your friends turn away from you in tough times, it's not a great, good time. The Bible says, what did David do? The Bible says that David encouraged himself in the Lord. Hallelujah. That's why he wrote a lot of Psalms. Are you guys here yet? Or you got home? You still here? Is this too hard for you? Praise God. I'm glad Pastor Ken's watching. You better watch yourself. Get back home. Him and his brother, I think, are watching. Tell Barry you better get over here too. Fall conference. Praise God. The Bible says, you know, when you speak good things, you know, you wonder why sometimes you don't have as many friends as you want to because you don't say the right things. If you're always speaking just like you do on Facebook, then no wonder people come around your house. Be the last place I want to go. Bible says, as they speak in 1 Kings 12 and 7, and they spake unto him, saying, if thou wilt be a servant unto the people this day, and will serve them and answer them, and speak good words to them, they will be thy servants forever. See, we need to begin to give God praise. The Bible says, Psalm 34, I will bless the Lord at all times. You have to be able to bless the Lord according to what Scripture says. Give God thanks about what he said in the Word. I'll bless him at all times. You say, well, nothing's going on in my life. Well, find Scripture that tells you you're blessed. Amen. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise. Everybody say his praise. Now, the word praise, one word from the word praise means to brag on, to brag about. The word praise means to brag about God, to brag about Jesus, to brag about, what God, the Holy Spirit, is doing in your life. You have to begin to brag on God. How many people you praise your kids, you praise your husband? Oh, look, what a wonderful man he is. Look at my children, what they're doing. You put that all on Facebook. Well, do that for God and do that for yourself. Amen. Am I talking to you this morning?
Yes.
Do you like it?
Yes.
You're crazy. Thank God. Listen, in troubled times, we praise him anyway. So David says, I'll bless the Lord at all times. So praise, he said, I will bless the Lord, means that by the act of your will, you're going to give God praise no matter what situation you find yourself in. As I mentioned to you, the word bless means to speak well of. It means to praise. It means to celebrate. It means to address God and acknowledge his goodness in your life. Has God ever done anything for you? So when you're lifting your hands, you should remind yourself of that. What he's done, lift your hands like this. You're going to say, oh, God, thank you for saving me. Thank you for healing me. Oh, in 1969, I was dying. Thank you for giving me life. Thank you, Lord God, when my wife left me for another man and you raised me back up and you gave me a great, beautiful family. Thank you for doing that. I was in detox. I was in a psych ward. And now I'm out. I don't have to go back in there. Thank you, Lord, and I'm okay. Praise God. There's things you can praise God about. Glory to God. And we need to, okay, so if there's an attack in your life and you're not out of the trouble yet, right in the middle of your trial, begin to find scriptures that cover your case. I was reminded this morning, about 4 o'clock in the morning, this morning, about a woman that encountered Jesus in the 15th chapter of the book of Matthew. The Bible said that she came to Jesus. She said, my little girl has a devil. And Jesus put her off. He said, I'm not called but to the lost sheep of Israel. He said, I have to go here. I have to go and see these people. These are my people. God sent me to talk to these people over here. And the lady began to continue to bug Jesus. She wouldn't relent. She would not be pushed aside. And he says, it's not meet for me to cast the children's bread and cast it unto dogs, Jesus told her. And the woman says, but Lord, even the dogs under the table eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. And you know what? She began to worship. The Bible says, and she worshiped Jesus, and she said, the crumbs, I'll eat the crumbs. And Jesus said, for this saying, as she was worshiping Jesus, for this saying is what you say in the midst of your trial, in the darkest moments of your life, that God pulls you out of it. And you're still in it. You're still having the trouble, and that's what you got to say to God. Father, I'm worshiping you anyway. Can you lift that hand and begin to bless God? Go ahead and lift that hand and bless him. Say, come on, lift your hand up. All you guys, lift your hand up. Come on, lift your hand and thank God. Oh, we praise you, Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. So she lifted her hands up. She lifted her voice up and said, God, Jesus. And Jesus said, for that saying, the devil has gone out of your daughter. For that saying, the girl was not there. When she got home, the girl was okay. See, you need one word from the Lord. See, a lot of people want proof. They say, give me a sign. So everyone's looking for a sign. He's not into signs. He's into his word. So, bless the Lord at all times. The word I will signifies an act of obedience from the human heart. It means that you've made a decision to act on the will and the word of God. Amen. To praise him no matter what. Two, this makes reference. I will praise the Lord all the time. This makes reference that God will help you no matter what's going on in your life. So, God has already made available your answer. So we need to begin to praise. He said, I'll bless the Lord at all times. Because faith is now. Faith is always now. You've got to be able to believe now, not tomorrow. You can't say, I'll praise God after I see it, after I feel it. You got to do it now. Glory to God. So regardless of what you feel, what you think, you got to be able to do it now. Continually begin to do it. I'll bless the Lord at all times. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, rejoice forevermore. Rejoice forevermore. That means go ahead and do it. Forevermore means no matter what's going on in your life. In everything, it says over there, verse 17, we just read. Yeah, in everything, give thanks. This is the will of God, is that you will always give thanks. So 1 Thessalonians 5:16-17, Amplified says, rejoice always, delight in your faith, be unceasing and persistent in prayer in every situation, no matter what the circumstances may be. Be thankful. Continually give thanks to God, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Hebrews 13:15, Amplified Bible says, Hebrews 13:15, the Amplified says, through him, therefore, let us at all times offer up to God a sacrifice of praise. What is a sacrifice of praise? A sacrifice of praise is do it when you're not emotionally involved in it. Sacrifice of praise is praising God. If you're not in it on an emotional level, you're doing it by faith. So a lot of times, most of the time, I would say most people are praising God, no matter what they're feeling. And I remember as a new Christian, you know, I would, feel the presence of God, real strong, and he would come over me once in a while, and just to let me know he's there. I'm a baby Christian. So a lot of people, they just want to have that feeling all the time like they did when they first got saved. God wants us to trust his word. Thank God for his word. Your praises not only affect you, but everybody else around you. The Bible says at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed, sing praises, Acts 16. You know, midnight, it was literally midnight when Paul was praising. But also it was midnight, theologically or theoretically, in the sense that it was the darkest moment of his life. You see, Paul, up to that time there, was serving God, and he cast a spirit out of a woman, and the owners of that woman who was working for, this woman that was working for these businessmen, was mad at Paul because he cast out the spirit of this woman. She was no longer had the ability to tell fortunes. So they threw Paul in jail because he cast the devil out of that woman. And they were not only put in jail, but they were beaten, their backs were beaten. and put in jail with their arms and legs strapped to to the wall. I don't know what to say about that. How many of us would actually begin to lift our voices in praise if we were beaten on the back, put in jail for serving God, and our feet, and as he began to praise God, the Bible says, and the power of God came upon them. And their bands were loosed. And they were able to be free. And so, some of you ever been to bingo? And you've stayed in bingo for more than an hour. You watch a hockey game before? Was it just an hour or 45 minutes? No. Just because the service is going to go a little longer than 45 minutes, you can still pay attention. I'm serious. We want to get strong in the Lord, but we don't want to spend any time in the Lord. We just want to give him so much time. Give him 45 minutes. That's it. I'm out of here. Glory to God. That makes me think. So, most people, they're just, sometimes they get in that way. So at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed, saying praises unto God. The prisoners heard them, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prisons were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. The keeper of the prison awakened out of sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword. He would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had fled. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light, and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out. And he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" He must have heard something about being saved. He must have heard Paul preach. What did Paul say? "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be saved. You might be saved. You what? Thou shalt be saved." Shalt is a strong word. You will be saved. And what else happens? And your house. So Paul's praises, the Bible said the prisoners heard them. And it not only affected their belief, and it shook the place up. And Psalm 34, verse 1, the Bible says, "Bless the Lord all times." And it goes, verse 2, "The humble shall hear thereof." The word humble means those that are depressed in spirit and in mind. The Amplified says. Psalm 34, verse 2. It says, "The humble shall hear thereof and be glad." See, your praise and your good words not only affect your own personal life, but those people that are around you. And that's why David could say, "I'll bless the Lord at all times." He knew that those people who came discouraged to him, he was able to tell how big God is and what God will do. And he began not only to lift himself up, but lift all those other people up. It's hard to hear a bad word and keep hearing bad words and keep listening to your mind about what's going to happen in your life and keep yourself up. We have to continually feed ourselves on the Word of God. See, he says, "Thou will be saved in thy house." He said, not only, that man, he knew about praising, and then he knew about worshiping God. Then he said, not only will you be saved if you call on the Lord, but your family will be affected as well. God says over there in Isaiah 49:25, he says, "I'll contend with him that can contend with you, and I will save your children." God says, if you're in covenant relationship with me, your enemies are my enemies. What belongs to you belongs to me. That's why we tithe and give God money so that we can have a church like this so that people can hear the word of God and put it on television and hear it, give it across the world here. Because people will hear it. I had a young man yesterday or the day before when I went to the gym. And I'm walking, minding my business. He stops me. He says to me, hey, man, I see you on television again. He's listening to the word. Amen. The guy at the gym, another guy at the gym asked me, he said the same thing. Hey, man, I'm listening to the word. I'm listening to what you're saying. The devil is trying to take me out of this race. because I'm on television. He's doing whatever he can. See, I'm in the forefront of the whole thing, and he wants to take me out like he tried to do with David. But he's not going to do it. He's not going to do it. I said he's not going to do it. See, you have to decide right now whether you're going to quit, fail, or give up, or whatever. The Bible says, I will bless the Lord at all times. If you will do that, you're going to stay up. I'll bless the Lord at all times. Thank you, Jesus. The people around you affect your life in so many, many ways. God is looking for true worshipers, the Bible says. He's looking for true worshipers in spirit. So let's go and close with the scriptures that I told you about, the woman with the daughter. In Matthew 15, we'll close that. The woman who received her daughter's deliverance as she praised Jesus, as she gave God glory. Anybody that has a problem right now, you need to give God glory beforehand. Jesus went thence and departed. Matthew 15, 21 to 28. Departed to the coast of Tyre and Sidon, and behold, there is a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, Lord. How many people know that in time of trouble, you need the mercy of God? Hebrews 4, 16 says, come boldly into the throne of grace that you might find mercy to help in time of need. Why? Because the temptation to quit is great. A son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she cried after us. And he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the house, the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then she worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. Sometimes that's all you say, Lord. You got nothing else to say but help me. But he answered and said, it's not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. She said, of the truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat from the crumbs which fall from the master's table. When somebody, you know, like maybe that could be equated to when you get offended by something, don't be offended. Listen, use the word. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Great is thy faith. Where did she get a great faith from? She never went to Bible school. She didn't go to Rhema. She didn't go to our Bible school. And she didn't listen to 16 hours of teaching tapes on faith by Kenneth Copeland. She was not in a word church or a charismatic church. She was not in some church somewhere. This woman was out of that selection of people, but she had great faith. What is great faith anyway? How do you get great faith? Do you have to spend like weeks meditating on the word for so long? Somebody said, you know, Wigglesworth says, great faith comes out of great trials. Sometimes in the moment of your hardest times, you'll discover your own great faith. You think you're at a place right now where you've gone, you're exhausted yourself, but you're not there yet. Great faith is really just relying on the Word of God and not looking at the situation that's before on your life. It's not looking at that. It's looking at what God said in His Word alone about your situation. I remember Brother Hagin used to tell us, if you ever run into trouble, what is the first thing he said that you should do? And we kind of look at each other. You know, we had 22 students in our classroom, 2,200 students, 2,200 students in our class. The first thing you should do is ask yourself, what does God say about my situation? What does God's word say about what I'm going through right now? Find scriptures that cover your case and begin to mark them down, read them over and over and over again. Talk to yourself, meditate, talk to yourself about what the scripture said. Talk to yourself over and over about it. Meditate on it. If you do that and you begin to praise God about that, He'll help you. O daughter, great is thy faith. Listen to this. Be it done unto thee, even as you will. She willed to praise God. She willed to believe. When you will to bless God, when you will to worship God, when you will to give thanks to God, that is faith talking to God. That is great faith talking to God. That is great faith speaking at that very moment. That's when God will talk to you. And her daughter was whole, made whole that very hour. Let's go ahead and stand up. Thank you, Father, for your word this morning. Thy word is truth. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Just go ahead and thank Him. Praise Him wherever you are. Those of you that are watching online, go ahead and give Him praise. Oh, we praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We praise you, Jesus. We say thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for answering all to the cries of the people, to the cries of the heart. I stand and